each of you to our first of our series of meetings and fall meetings at Brush Creek. We have, as I look out tonight over the audience, it looks like there's been some real fine family reunions. I see this Thanksgiving season, and we have some very familiar faces, and we're happy to have you in our first service. I was thinking about, as I was making a 360-mile trip this afternoon to get here in time, I was wondering about the first service and why it was scheduled tonight, and I see why. We have those here from Oregon Bible College that are visiting their family and relatives. We have also some ministers that are here among their families, and it's just a real time for revival and getting together. We're thankful that Brother Duncan and his wife is able to be with us and that they had a very safe journey and the Lord was with them. I want to mention that we on the bulletin board will be putting up attendance charts here, and these attendance charts will show the different attendance each night. We do hope that this will grow, and we will be placing last year's services and the attendance so we can keep checking on you. For instance, there was 124 of you out a year ago, and if we don't top that, why then some of you haven't been evangelistic enough to get out. So we will be putting those up later. We have a very fine program tomorrow night and Sunday with two services scheduled for the message of Sunday morning. Really, should all young people should pay very close attention to this. The title for Sunday morning service, that in Christ, no generation gap. I don't have it just accurately there, Brother Duncan, but in Christ, there's no generation gap. Then to Sunday afternoon or Sunday evening service at 7:30 be the subject, are you ready? Sometimes we think we are, but are we? Are you ready will be the subject then. All right, George, we'll need us in some more salt, please.
Let's continue by turning to number 337. We have a story to tell to the nation. Number 337.
A story to tell to the nation, let them turn their hearts to the right. A story of truth and mercy, a story of peace and love, a story of peace and love. For the heart must turn to dawning, and the dawning to
thank you.
our evening prayer, let's turn to hymn number 93. Let's ask if Brother Russell McGaugh from Columbia Church of God would lead us to the Lord in prayer. All of the singing of this hymn. Shall we stand, please?
You to turn in your Bibles to Acts, the fourth chapter, and Brother Duncan asked me to read this text for your consideration and your thoughts and meditations at this time. It's Acts, the fourth chapter, beginning with verse 31, reading through the remaining part of that chapter. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken, and there was assembled together and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of land or houses sold them, and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution made unto every man according as he had need. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted a son of consolation, a Levite and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and bought money, laid it at the apostles' feet. Thus we read a portion of the word from Acts 4, 31, following. Number 324, we shall know. Number 324. Sing out on this one.
We shall know each other better when the mist has cleared away.
for that morning. As we said before, we're glad to see so many here. We invite you all back each and every service, because at each and every service, besides the congregational singing, there will be special music provided, not only from our own church and congregation, but by the sister churches in the area, which we have asked to participate, as we have every year we have our fall meetings. This year being no exception, we will have a special this evening. Sister Sherry Smith, Sister Pam Perry, and Brother Cecil Perry will sing for you at this time.
We'd like to sing for you tonight, Love Found a Way.
Starts out our fall meetings in the right tone, doesn't it? Love Found a Way. Well, here I am in that position again to introduce somebody that you know more about than I do. And I say that in this very way. While I've known of the activities of Brother Duncan and have corresponded with him some, and spoken to him on the telephone, and he and his good wife came down to Guthrie Grove, South Carolina, made a long trip just to hear a little old Missouri preacher preach a little sermon in the summer. This is about the only experience that I've had to know Brother Duncan. But 5 years ago, many of you folks, perhaps the majority of the audience tonight, had the privilege of having Brother Duncan for guest speaker. Tonight, I'm not going to say a lot of things about Brother Duncan. I want to give him all the opportunity to speak to you and to for this first service tonight. However, you know that he's a very active minister of the gospel. His radio work, we would think, would be enough to get any person down as far as hard work is concerned, but he's not confined to that by any means. Pastoring the
Church Resurrection Hope. And Lenore, I was going to say South Carolina, but it's North Carolina tonight. And all and several young folks out there, I'm sure that you have been to the National Youth Camp in the last few years, that you've also had Brother Duncan as your teacher or worker. And so I'm just going to turn the rest of the service over to Brother Duncan. The Lord bless you, Brother Duncan, tonight.
Thank you.
I know it's been a big, long trip for you today. I'll promise I won't go to sleep.
Well, we're happy to greet you once again in the name of our wonderful Savior Jesus Christ, who died for us and who God raised from the dead in wonderful power and glory. And for those who are believers in Him, it's a great joy for any of us to meet and to express our wonderful happiness in Christ day by day. And every meeting of another saint is a great joy and blessing. It was 5 years ago tonight that we stood here. We were a diabetic of the worst sort. Tonight we stand here. Our health is much improved. And I believe we're a little closer to the Lord than we were then. And I also believe and know that we're a whole lot closer to the kingdom and its coming than we were at that time. But it is wonderful to be here and wonderful to see you. And we hope that as we go through this week that somehow that God will bless each and every one of you. Special greetings from our church to the Brush Creek Church. Wishing you the best in Christ. Praying that you will have a good revival meeting and that God will bless your pastor and all the members and all the sister churches. We at Resurrection Hope do a lot of broadcasting. We do have 11 radio programs going. As a matter of fact, I left Columbus here a month ago, went home and I did 62 15-minute tapes. And I tell you that with all that radio work, I was just about ready to take a vacation this week. But we promised the Lord several years ago that we would serve Him just as much as we could possibly until He came, because we believe assuredly that we're living in the generation that will see the Lord come. We believe the church will be delivered. Tonight we're going to speak to you about blessings that you're missing now and blessings you'll miss later, or what will deprive you of blessings later. And the blessings we want to talk to you about tonight would be squarely to the church's members. And I see most of you tonight are baptized members, and sometimes perhaps we, as members of the church, do not really get to know the Lord and His grace as much as the first church did. We hear today of a lot of movements claiming to be moved by the Spirit of God in a powerful way. I have attended some meetings where I've seen people get to shouting and run across the benches. Well, that didn't prove a thing to me, except that the benches were fastened to the floor. But tonight, I want you to examine your heart. And the Lord has asked me in an humble way to ask you to examine your hearts as we speak about these things and see if we have the grace of God as powerful as the early church. We should have. We should have it. It's the same Lord. And we should have His grace in our hearts operating and working in a magnificent manner. And we may be missing blessings that we're overlooking. And are you missing some of the blessings you could be having? We're living in the grandest time in the history of man. The greatest time for a witness of Christ, for a Christian to witness that there's ever been. The Apostle Paul didn't have a radio, a TV, or any modern convenience to convey him on his passages to one church to another. Transportation, he didn't have it. We're living in a marvelous time, and we have all of these conveniences, and we want to be sure that we are not missing out on any of the great blessings that come from our Father in heaven through Jesus Christ, His Son, and our Lord. You find that in the scripture lesson, it says that great grace was upon them. Great grace of God was upon the early church. men and women were moved mightily, and they were blessed beyond the measure of men. And I would like to give just a short testimony and interrupt here long enough to do it. 10 years ago, just a little over 10 years ago, I came into the Church of God of Abrahamic faith. And I want you to know that I came under the leadership of the Lord Jesus and the Spirit. And the blessings that I've received since that time, I could never have imagined or believed that it would happen. But it has. I have been so happy and wondrously blessed with God's grace by you people, by people of the other churches, and by the Lord, and by His Word, and by love, one for the other. Love that's reached out and encircled all of us, because we are all in the same situation, in the same time in history, all expecting the same great event. Now, one of the greatest blessings perhaps you might be overlooking would be this one. Jesus said in Revelation 16 and 15, He said, "Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame." Tonight, blessed means happy, and I am happy because that I have the privilege to watch the closing days of time, watch prophecies unfold before our eyes that many men that were spiritual and filled with God's power looked far across the centuries of time. Many of the older men of the Church of God who were before us looked for the things that are happening today to happen, and they were watching for those things. But I'm glad tonight, and I'm happy tonight, that I can watch these things unfold. And it's a blessing. It is a blessing. You're a blessed person if you have Christ in your heart. And if you're watching history unfold according to God's prophecy, and if you can understand and see and know that these things are implying that the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. And so it should fill your heart with happiness tonight. And if you're not a person that's watching, if you are failing to watch world history, world events, you're missing a blessing. Then I also want to watch other things. I want to watch my life. I want to watch my church. I don't mean to watch my church in the sense that the man who sat at home and watched his church on TV, he watched them, watched the program on Sunday morning on TV, and when they started taking up collection, he started shouting, and his wife thought he'd gone crazy. She said, "What are you shouting for?" He said, "Well, they're taking up the offering, and I don't have to put nothing in." And so sometimes we're willing to watch way back yonder somewhere out of sight. I want to watch the church grow, and it's a blessing to come to the church and watch it grow there. To watch God's work, working with other people in the church, working with my brethren, working with my sisters, working with my neighbors and friends, working with my loved ones. All of us working together. Perhaps the person I can't reach, you can. And so he wants us to watch. Jesus, in his statement here, was mentioning fact that blessed is the person who watches and keeps his garments. Now, the second thought here was he that keeps his garments. Tonight, I'm talking about garments of righteousness. When you came to Christ, when you believed upon Him, the joy of your salvation, the joy of being baptized into the Lord, is it still as real as it was the day you was baptized, or have you grown in grace? Is it better? My wife sitting in the audience, we were married 31 years ago, and I love her better now than I did then. Although we've grown older, but as we think about this coming to Christ, the thrill of knowing Jesus, the thrill of letting Him come into your heart, the thrill of walking with Him, the grace of God in your life, it clothes you with the righteousness of Jesus. And every one of us here wants to be clothed with the righteousness of Jesus. You're missing a blessing if you don't keep those righteous garments of the Lord. If you don't walk in His righteousness, if you don't walk in His holiness, if you don't feel His peace all about you day by day as you live in this world, if somehow or other you've missed this blessing, you're kind of like a person that's been married and divorced, and you don't have a wife. Somebody says, "Are you married?" I said, "Yes, I'm married." "How do you know you're married?" "Well, I know I'm married I don't think I'm married. I don't hope I'm married. I know that I'm married because there's my wife and because we love one another. Now, sometimes we say, I think I'm a Christian. I think I know Christ. I think perhaps I'm getting some blessings from the Lord. Brethren, tonight, we as children of God, with the glorious truth of the gospel of the kingdom, should everyone know that we know the Lord, and we should be sharing the blessings from heaven. We should be receiving from Christ. Now we should find out what it takes to receive these blessings. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And so if you know that you have on the garments of righteousness, and I had a person write in to me from on my radio program and said, how do you know that you're a Christian? Well, I want to tell you, if Jesus Christ is living in your heart, if God's Spirit and power is in you, and you have it all about you and in your heart, and you just feel good all the time, and you just praise the Lord all the time, and you just love the Lord all the time, and you love even your enemies, and you love everybody, and you love especially the brethren, and you love God's truth, and you just feel so good in the Lord, why, you know that you have the Lord. And you can be sure that you're clothed with His righteousness, because there's nothing that you could do that could make you feel that wonderful. We are saved by the righteousness of Christ through faith. We believe on Him. His righteousness is what clothes us. And we want to keep that righteousness in our lives, in our hearts, upon our minds, living in this world a goodly, wonderful, holy life by His grace. We want His grace to be in us like it was the first church, to move us to testify of His death, His burial, His resurrection, His justification for every one of us. Because Jesus of Nazareth died for every person in this world, and especially you in this church, especially every person here tonight. How I thank God that Jesus died for me. And I'm happy and I'm blessed. I used to have the longest, ugliest face like an old horse, but I've learned to smile through Jesus because I'm so happy. I'm blessed in the Lord because Jesus dwells in my heart. Paul said, I'm crucified, nevertheless I live. Not I, he says, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And when you have this experience, when you put it into action, you're going to be blessed beyond measure. And how we ought to praise God for this blessed privilege of having the Lord to dwell in our very hearts. Again, I find in Revelation, the 19th chapter in the 9th verse, he said, the angel spoke to him and said, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said, these are the true sayings of God. Brethren, I came up here from North Carolina, but this is nothing new. You know that this is the true sayings of God. This is the true sayings of God. Blessed or happy is the person that has been called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Tonight, as I stand here in this congregation, I say to you that every one of you have been called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Isn't that wonderful and thrilling? One of the greatest events in all of world's history, you and I have been invited to. I tell you, it makes you just feel like praising the Lord. It is worth praising the Lord about. We have a standing invitation. We have a standard calling from the Lord, a special invitation of the Lord Himself, to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Isn't that glorious? Isn't that wonderful? Why, the world talks about men going to the moon. They talk about we're going to land a man on Mars, or we're going to shoot a rocket out to Jupiter, or we're going to do some great things. But none of these can compare with the great marriage supper of the Lamb when the church is caught up to meet Jesus in the air. Brethren, this is something to think about. I am blessed beyond measure. My thoughts are so happy when I lie upon my bed at night, or when I go to my office in the morning, because I'm one of those people that's been called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. You're one of those people, and you're one of those people that should have the righteousness of Christ in your heart and all about you, dressed in that righteousness, watching world events, watching and guarding and being alert and keeping your garments about you, because you know that the time is ripe and the time is drawing nigh when Christ shall return. And you want to be among that number that shall go into the marriage supper of the Lamb. What a glorious event. And so if you have this invitation, and you know that it came straight from the Lord, and you know it came by the will of God, what a happy person you ought to be. And if you do not stop and speculate on this and meditate on it, my brother or my sister tonight, you're missing a great blessing. Because just to think about these things, the middle of the night, sometimes I wake and I hear across the Blue Ridge Mountains there in the foothills of North Carolina, some of the Blue Ridge Mountains, I hear a train echo across the valley. I think about the time when God's trumpet will sound. I sometimes awake and think about the invitation the Lord given me to call me out of this old world of darkness, call me into baptism into Christ, call me into the righteous holy way of the Lord, and save me by His mighty grace and His power, and put me in a group of people that believe and know the wonderful truth about the coming kingdom and the state of the dead and the resurrection from the dead. And these things just thrill my heart, and sometimes I've come out of the bed shouting in the middle of the night. It's wonderful. It's a blessing when you count your blessings. We've had Thanksgiving, and we've all been thankful for so many things. But if you're missing these blessings, these are blessings the Lord intended the church to have today. We ought to count these blessings. They're tremendous. They are real. They're not imaginary. They're something that are real. They're just as real as the nose on your face. They're just as real as the heart inside of your body. And how you need to apply your thoughts and your meditation on these things. You know, He has said, set your affections on things above. Your mind needs to be on those things. Now, again, even David, many centuries ago, 1,000 years before Christ, David wrote the Psalms, and he said, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners." Isn't it a wonderful thing in this world in which we're living, when crime and sin and evil are all about us, and it seems to be on the increase and it's multiplying, that we who are of the church, we who belong to Christ, we who've been called out of this world, we don't have to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Oh, the Supreme Court may pass many laws, or our social standards, society may make many standards of dress, or they may make many laws that are just put on by social pressure, but we don't have to abide by those laws. The thing that we have to do is to stay in the Lord, abide in Him, to do His will. I am happy that I can live like Daniel in this present world. Anything that goes contrary to my worship of God, I can stand for square for it. I can stand there unafraid, even if they would put me in jail. Even if I would lose all that I have, I can still maintain my integrity for the Lord. And this is a great blessing. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. You know what the Lord wants of the church. You know what is our obligation and our duty. Suppose that in the next few years, if crime continues and the Supreme Court keeps making rulings as it has, and our nation comes to the point that you'll not be allowed to preach this truth that we're preaching, would you continue to preach it? If you were to be restricted from preaching this glorious truth and witnessing for Christ, is there anything or any power on earth that can keep the church from witnessing for Jesus? My brethren, we have a great blessing. We don't have to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. We can witness for Christ in storm, in sunshine, in rain, in snow. We can witness for Christ no matter where we go in under any conditions. And I praise God for that. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. Brethren, this is something that we need to think about tonight, because in many churches throughout the land of America tonight, there is a so-called Christian standing in the way of sinners. I've asked people to come to church, and they'd say, "Well, I know so-and-so that he confessed Christ, and he was baptized, and I live better than he does." Brethren, it's a blessing when you know that you are letting Christ have control of your life. You've given Him full committal, and the grace of God's in your life, and you are filled with the light of Jesus and the wonderful love of God, in so much that you know that you're not standing in anybody's way from coming to serve the Lord, knowing that you're not jeopardizing anybody's coming to Christ, that when people look at you, they cannot find some reason or some excuse to belittle your church or belittle your Lord or belittle your religion. You know, back there at Lenore, where I've had some public debates about the glorious truths we have, those people say, well, we can't agree with that man. We don't believe what he preaches, but he sure does live a clean, holy Christian life. Now, I'm not saying that I live that. I want to make that plain tonight. I give the Lord the glory. Christ living in me. God's grace upon me. They have to admit that you're righteous. They have to admit that there's a power about you, that there's holiness about you. And so they turn away their ears from God's word. But they have to admit that you have God's love, that you have the Spirit of the Lord, that you are somebody that is clothed with the righteousness of the Lord. And you want to live this way because there might be some neighbor, some brother out here in the world that will look at your life and he will say, well, now, if he's a Christian, if he's an example of what Christ can do for individuals, I don't want him. You know, that makes us a little bit sick. We're missing blessings sometimes because we stand in the way of sinners. We want to live so that this fault, this guilt, will never be upon us. And we ought to pray that God would deliver us from this. Sometimes there's friction in churches, among the churches back home especially, among the poorer classes of people. There are often split-ups in churches. And when there is, people say, well, I'm through with church. I'm not going back to church. There has been times when a preacher would run off with some man's wife or something. And they say, well, I'm through with church. And they look at this. You and I should live above reproach. You say, well, we can't do that. We can do that through Christ. Christ living in you. Giving your life to Him, full committal. Let Christ live in your life. Every day, every hour, every night, every hour, all the time, let Christ be in your heart, in your life. Let God's grace be upon you. And with mighty power, witness to people, wherever you work, wherever you go, be a living witness for Jesus Christ. And you'll have a blessing, I'll tell you. You can't contain it. That's what's happened to me. I tell you, I used to be an old carpenter. And when I was a boy, I got out there and plowed behind a mule. But I want to tell you that the Lord has sent me. This is the 83rd trip out of North Carolina. 11 years ago it is now. I stood out there one night in a cornfield with my barefooted, and it was cold and it rained and the mud was up to here. And I said, Lord, I'll go anywhere you send me. I'm going to give you my life to take it and use it any way you want to. He led me out of the group of people I was in into the Church of God, and I've been going ever since. And I thank God for it. You talk about being blessed. I'm the happiest person you'll ever meet. Anybody happier than me, you may find some just as happy, but not anybody any happier. I really love the Lord, and He's been a great blessing to me, and you don't want to miss these blessings, because the Lord can use every one of us. When we give Him full surrender, full committal to Him, our lives complete to Him, let Him come in, take charge. He's going to do something for us, wonderful and glorious. As we continue to think upon some of these blessings, we find in Psalms 34 and 8 these thoughts. He said, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him." We're living in a time when people can't trust in God anymore. Many church members fail to trust in God. They have problems, financial problems, problems of health. There's no way out, it seems. Sometimes we're worried about operations. We're worried about the condition of our health and so many things that we have to worry about, that we think about. And in all of this distress, somehow we feel like God has left us out of the picture. He's forgotten us. And one man said to me, he said, "I've prayed and prayed and God never answers my prayer." Well, I want to tell you something. Whether God answers your prayer or not tonight, you need to trust in Him. You may miss a blessing by not trusting in God. You can be sure in the consummation of God's purpose, when this earthly life is finished, when Jesus has come and the kingdom is established, if you trust in God, you're going to receive the blessing. That's sure. And so we need to endure. He didn't promise us delivery of every evil in this present world as far as afflictions of sickness. Even Christians die. Some people have the idea if a man's a Christian, he never has to be sick. Well, I've been a diabetic for 12 years, and I feel wonderful, but God has blessed me in this diabetic condition, and I'm thankful for it. And just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you won't have the headache or you won't be sick. But you can trust the Lord when you are sick. Job, when he was afflicted, said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him." Isn't that the kind of religion we need? Isn't that the kind of grace we need? If we don't have it, we miss a blessing. I've been working with a man, and I left him yesterday crying. But he says, "I just cannot believe that God is going to help me. I just cannot believe that God is with me. I don't believe God's going to hear any prayers." And he just couldn't trust in the Lord at all. And when you don't trust in God, you miss out on a great blessing. If you'll just trust in God, if you'll maintain your integrity, something wonderful has got to happen. Again, in Psalms 119:1, "Blessed are they that keep his testimony, who seek him with the whole heart." How much of your heart do you use to try to seek God with? Brethren, tonight so many of us have so many things in this world in our hearts. We think about our homes, we think about our automobiles, we think about our farms, or we think about the place where we work, our jobs. We think about many things. But are you seeking the Lord with all your heart? As Christians in this present world, in this present age, in this day when the church of God should be going before the world declaring the coming kingdom such as we've never done before and shake this whole earth, what are you thinking about? Are we going to miss a blessing? I believe generations before us have missed blessing because perhaps they wanted to serve God half-heartedly. Now, you may not understand this, but up till 3 years ago, I was a part-time minister. Talked to Brother Clarence Lapp, some of you know, suppose most of you know. And he told me, he said, "Brother Z.B., I'm positive that a man can serve God in a much better capacity if he'll go full-time." I want to tell you, God transformed my life when I went full-time. How I thank God. And I would to God that every church of God this evening would call an official board meeting and decide that congregation is going to put their pastor in full-time ministry with enough finances so he can live and provide for his family and do the work of the Lord in a wonderful way. It would transform the church of God. We're missing a blessing by not doing it. When you mention finances, people sort of look around a little bit funny, you know. They think, well, now he's hinting around that he like to have something. God's providing for me wonderfully. I just can't understand God's great blessings toward me. Wherever I go and everywhere I go, God is blessing. And he'll bless every one of us. And he'll bless you, but he wants you to seek him with your whole heart. In Jeremiah 29:13, he said, "Ye shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." Not part of it, but all of it. What you want is the Lord more than anything else. What you want is Christ and his grace in your life more than anything else. And sometimes, you know, my wife, she gets ready to go to bed and she'll say, "Well, you're going to kiss me goodnight?" I don't like to go to bed by myself, she'll say. Well, I know she doesn't, but you know, there's somebody out there in the heavens I'd rather go outside and talk to. Yes, she knows that. There's nothing in the world like loving the Lord better than anything else. Better than your job, better than your wife, better than your children. Let the Lord have first place in your life. It'll transform you. And it'll take the church of today and it will invigorate us and it will give us a power like we've never had before when all of us come together loving the Lord better than anything else in the world. That means better than a football game if it's going to interfere with the schedule of the church. We need to put the Lord first in our lives. We need to remember the first love and return to that love. Oh, my brethren, I hope and trust to God that you're not missing out on these great blessings of the Lord tonight. They're so wonderful, and all we need to do is to seek the Lord with all of our heart. Now, you know, I came into the Church of God, and I thought, well, I've been a preacher, and I've been pretty successful, and I thought that I had served the Lord with all my heart. But when I was in revival at the other group that I was with, and a preacher came to my church and would preach and have a revival, I had jealousy in my heart, and I knew it. But still, I thought I was serving the Lord with all my heart. And I went over there one time to a doctor, and he said, "You're that old no-hell preacher, old soul-sleeping preacher." He said, "Get out of my office. I don't want to wait on you." 3 weeks later, he died, and I said to myself, "Oh, goody, old boy, God give you what you deserve." But you know what? I got down sick, and I went over there, and my father took me over there, and they had to give me radium treatments and took me out there to a doctor's house because I was burning so bad all along in here. And a little girl walked up there and she said, "You sick?" And I said, "Yes." She's playing on the sidewalk. She said, "I wish Daddy was alive." And said he could do something for you. And tears went to run down her face. I didn't have to ask her who she was. I knew that God was whipping me. I want you to know I was a preacher for 10 years, but I didn't worship God with all my heart. I didn't serve Him with all my heart. I had a closet in my heart where I hid things. Oh, I wouldn't let the congregation see it. I didn't want my family to know about it, but back inside I had a closet. And when Jesus came in and jerked open that door, the things that fell out, I want to tell you, Miss gave me a blessing. I got rid of the junk in my heart. There shouldn't be anything in a Christian's heart but love. But love, brother. The love of God operating in power. Now, the Lord didn't give us the grace of God for us just to use it and boast about it for ourselves, but He gave it to us to use, to witness and testify, and to share it with others. Share Jesus with others. That's what the Lord wants us to do. And so it is real wonderful and glorious when we think about this. Seek Him with all your heart. Let Him examine your heart. David realized he wasn't a doctor. Not a spiritual doctor, no way. So he said, "Lord," he said, "examine my heart. Examine my heart, O Lord," he cried out. How often David wanted God to examine his heart. And sometimes we have to grow in grace and we miss blessings because there might be some little envy or something we don't like about somebody or some little pet peeve perhaps it is with us about someone, and we hold it against them. We can't get the blessings of heaven rolling our way until we've got a clean, dedicated, consecrated heart filled with God's love, full of His grace, and walking before the world and telling them about Jesus. Now this is wonderful and glorious when we come to this condition in this place with the Lord. And so we need to examine our hearts and our lives and see if we're receiving the blessings of the first church. We should. It's the same Lord, the same church. The church of God today is the same church as the church of God in that day. So we need to be thankful. Prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah 55:6, he says, "Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near." Well, that's something to think about. Will there be a time when the Lord can't be found? Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He's near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord. And He will have mercy upon him to our God. He'll abundantly pardon. If ever there was a time, brethren, that we need to seek the Lord, it is today. I thank God that it's a blessing to any man today who will turn from his life to the life of Jesus. When you look at the life that you live, I'm sure that if you weigh it in the balances of God, you'll find it lacking. You can only find your life is satisfactory when that life is lived with Christ living in you according to the will of God. Now, I know whereof I'm speaking because, as I said, I preached for 10 years and didn't realize that I was way off from the Lord. Wasn't walking with Him the way I should be. Brethren, I thank God tonight that there is a way, a holy way, a righteous way, to seek the Lord with all your heart. Reach out for Him. Lay hold on eternal life. Call on the Lord. Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. Tonight, if I ask everybody that's prayed 2 hours in the last week to walk forward, I'd be afraid to. How many of you spend 30 minutes a day in prayer? How often do you call on God? The early church received a great outpouring of the Spirit because they had prayer meetings. They had prayer meetings. Do you know that I had some of the preachers in our town to tell me they envied me because that the greatest percentage of my people come to prayer services on Wednesday night. So few people. There's a church in our community that has 600 attendance for Sunday school and only 12 to 15 for a midweek prayer service, so they canceled. Brethren, call upon him while he's near. When you can get a hold of God, you call upon him. And the time to call upon him is every day. Daniel prayed 3 times a day. How often do you pray? Are you missing blessings because you fail to pray? Some loved one gets sick and someone suffers a long time. Are you going to go along through life and just accept that as destiny? Are you going to say, well, that just has to be that way? Are you going to say, well, I believe in predestination so much that these people have to be sick? A fellow told me the other day, he said, I believe that I can go up there and sit on the railroad track and a train can come along and hit me at 100 miles an hour and it can't even hurt me because it's not my time to go. Are we going to accept such philosophy? I want to tell you, brethren, can't we bring blessings in our lives and in the lives of our family and the lives of others if we will call upon the Lord? We're missing out by not praying like we should. These are blessings that maybe you might be missing on tonight. I hope and trust that you'll think about them. Now, God is displeased with disobedience. Sometimes we disobey God. He said for us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together in the closing days of time, so much the more as you see the day approaching. But, brethren, more and more we find church members, they are failing to attend the church. We find that attendance goes down. We find that people are not faithful to the church, but God was displeased with man disobeying his rules and his regulations. And when we stop and think about it, go back to the Garden of Eden. God took the man and found out that he had sinned, and he said in Genesis 3:22, and the Lord God said, behold, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil. Now lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden and tilled the ground from whence he was taken. Here was Adam. He had an opportunity of a great blessing to eat of the tree of life. Here he was in the paradise of God. What a blessing it was. All of this was at his disposal to use and to enjoy. But what did he do with it? Well, today we'd say he blew it. We would say today that he pulled a boo-boo, but that boo-boo caused him to miss out on the blessings of God. That mistake caused him, and that failure to do what God had told him to do caused him a great cost, and it's cost all of us. The tomb rocks out here in the cemetery shows you how much it cost us. Brethren, if we miss the blessings as God's people and as God's church in 1972, if we miss using his blessings and laying hold on those blessings, he's not going to push them off on us. We're going to have to move. We're going to have to do our part. God's not going to force his salvation on anyone. And if we fail to take hold and lay hold on these blessings and become partakers of these blessings and use these blessings, God will raise up somebody else to carry this message to the world. God will use other people. A lady came to me the other Sunday. She says, Brother Duncan, I want to be baptized. She is a woman that's 62 years old. She said, God is moving in the church of God. And she said, I want to be where God is moving. I want to be in the midst of people that feel the Spirit of God and that have the love of God and are happy like your people are happy here. She says, I want to be a part of this. She's leaving her home church, where she's been for years. She's going to be baptized when we go back. And she's going to come into our church. She wants to be a part of it. And those people who want to share in the blessings of God and to not hold them to themselves, but share them with others, God is going to use. And he's going to use every one of you, I'm sure. Isn't it wonderful and glorious? I hope tonight that you will study and think and meditate about these things, because in the first psalm he said, in his law doth he meditate day and night. Day and night you need to think about God's blessings. You need to think about them and meditate on them and let them come into your heart and life. Reach out for them, ask for them, call upon him, seek them, and obtain them and get them. Before the week is out, we'll tell you probably of some experiences that we've experienced through this wonderful grace of God by letting Christ really live in our life, by letting him literally live in our lives by the hope of glory, not as a person, because Jesus is a person. He's real, tangible, literal. He was raised from the dead, literally. He's coming back, literally. But by faith, the hope of glory, he lives in us by that faith through the Holy Spirit in our life. And we are moved by impulse to do those things that are pleasing in his sight. What a glory, what a thrill. And tonight I hope that you can do this and have been doing it and will continue to do it. If you're not doing it, you're missing out on great blessings. He says in Isaiah 59:1, he says, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face that he will not hear. Sometimes Christians can't understand why God don't answer their prayer. Sometimes Christians become a little discouraged because things don't go their way in the church. Brethren, is it your way that you're interested in the church, or is it God's way? What do you want done in the church? God's way or your way? Are you a vessel that God can use in the church? Why? Does God want me to be the janitor in the church? Then I'll quit. I've got to be the preacher. If I'm not the preacher, I'll quit. Is that the Christian attitude? Is that the way the Lord wants us to be? God's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, brethren. It's our iniquities, our failures, our shortcomings that deprive us of the blessings of God. And then again, his ear is not heavy that he cannot hear our prayer, but sometimes our sins is in his face like a cloud. Our sins have darkened the spots between us and the space between us and God. In a spiritual sense, as we're speaking, I like the song, "Nothing Between My Soul and the Savior." Can you tonight say, there's nothing between me and the Lord, nothing whatsoever? Brethren, as I come your way, if there's no other good accomplished in this revival, if tonight, if you can have God to x-ray your life in his light and find that there is one spot between you and God and can move it, it'll be worth my trip up here. Can you find it in your life that there's nothing between your heart, your soul, your mind, your life and the Savior? Are you tied in with the Lord? Are you and the Lord one spirit? He that's joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Isn't that wonderful? Tonight, how about it, friends? We're all Church of God. We're all people who love the Lord. We're all looking for his second coming. But you know, there in the Southeast Conference, we're beginning to grow. We're beginning to move at last. Things are happening there in the Southeast Conference. And it's because that people have become concerned and people are beginning to let some of the things go at home and things that they plan to do and beginning to work for the Lord, to do for the Lord, and let the Lord have his way in their life. What did these people here do? Why, they sold their possessions, brought all the money to the apostles, and laid it down before them, and they all owned all things in common. Brethren, you think that we could do that today? Maybe we're missing a blessing because, you know, they say, well, would you sell your house? Would you sell your car? Well, we'll not go off into a nth degree on this, but it's just something for us to think about. These people, they moved as God led them by his Spirit, and they shook the world, and we're still talking about it today. But we are men of like passions. We're people just like they were. They were mortal dying people. They were people who believed the truth. They were people like us. And I believe honestly, brethren, that we, by the grace of God, by full committal to the Lord and letting him use us and under His direction, we can shake the world again if the Lord tarries very long. I believe that we can shake the world with blessing, not with wrath. God's wrath will come upon the people at the right time. But we can take to them the good news of the gospel. God's ear is not so it cannot hear, but if God doesn't answer your prayer, examine your life. See if there's something that God wants done in your life that you haven't done. One man said to me, he says, Brother Duncan, I felt call of the Lord. He says, for 10 years I've been wanting to go over to the prison and speak to those prisoners. We live in 2 miles of the prison. We've worked with prisoners since we were here. We worked for a year in the prison with prisoners, some of them life-termers for murder. We've had them in our homes. We've took them to our church. We've baptized some of them. We've worked in the prison with some of them that's down in the gutters of sin. But this man said, I want to go and speak to them. And he had this great urge. And he says, the Lord laid on his heart for 10 years, but he's never got around to going. He keeps putting it off. Is there something, dear brother or sister here tonight, that Jesus has been laying on your heart, but for some reason you made an excuse? In Luke 14th chapter, there are some excuses. I bought a piece of land. I bought 5 yoke of oxen. I've got married. What is your excuse tonight? Because you're not enjoying the blessings, missing these great blessings of God. What is it? Again, pardon me for using my own experience, but I had an old Model A after World War II, and the Lord had called me to preach, and I knew it. My wife said, I can't be the wife of a minister. And it burdened me something terrible, and I sat outside the house there, and I looked up into the heavens at those great thunderheads, and I talked with God. I finally made up my mind. I walked in and I said, well, Burley, I said, I love you just as good as a man can love a woman. I love you with all my heart, but I love the Lord best, and I've got to do what God wants me to do. And she said, well, if that's the way it is, I'll do the best I can. I looked for it to end up in a divorce, but he went the other way. How happy we've been. I think that we've had as wonderful a time in marriage as Adam and Eve had in the Garden of Eden before the sin. We've had a wonderful time. God's blessings and grace has changed our lives. Jesus Christ, literally, by His Spirit and faith and grace of God, has entered our lives and changed our home and changed our lives so that we can be a light of the world. And that's what the Church of God should be tonight. It can only be a light of the world, just as much light as is in you, just as much of God's grace is in you. And the reason I mention marriage is because one of the great blessings that so many Americans are missing out on tonight is found in Psalms 128. There's a man that's blessed there, and he tells you how blessed he'll be. Psalms 128:3. His wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of his house, and his children like olive plants about his table. Doesn't that describe a happy family? Today, in the midst of all of this divorce and all of this uproar, and people can't get along. Brethren, do you know that Jesus is the answer to it all? A couple of my church, I had married them after 5 years and with 2 little children, came to my house one night. The mother had tried to commit suicide, and we have what we call the foothills, like the foothills of the mountain, the foothills. A psychiatrist, and it's a man that's paid by all the churches in the area there, other than our church. We don't have anything to do with it. But this great psychiatrist has these marriage problems. People who are married come to them with their problems, and he counsels with them. They came to our house. She tried to commit suicide at 12 o'clock at night. She wouldn't talk, wouldn't say a word. She didn't care whether we prayed. She didn't care whether she lived. She didn't care whether she died. Her father was the police chief in the community there, chief of police. The next day they called me and asked me to go with them over there to see this psychiatrist. I said, I will never go with you to see a psychiatrist, because I've got someone that's a million times greater than any psychiatrist. If your daughter would simply accept Christ on His terms, there would be no need of a psychiatrist. And they went over there, and the first thing they did when they walked in that psychiatrist's office was to tell him how low down I was. And when they got through a third little piece, he says, "Get out of my office. Get back over there and talk to that man. What he's got for you is better than anything I can give you." And so they took their tails down, and here they come back, and they wanted to talk. And I got them in there, and we got them down on their knees and talking with the Lord, and they really had been baptized, but they never had really accepted Christ. They were sort of serving the Lord in a hypocritical manner, and they found the Lord. You know what's happening to her husband? He has been called to preach, and she's becoming one of the greatest workers in our church. But there, all these years was wasted, all these blessings missed, because they failed to let Jesus just have complete control of their life. Now, all you got to do is ask Him. All you have to do is to talk to Him. All you have to do is to tell Him, and you can have a happy family. Now they have three children. Now they're having a happy family. The home that once was torn with curse words by Christians and quarreling and fussing has now become a place of happiness and joy. And children that grew up like this are like olive plants around about the table. Now somebody said, "Well, Brother Duncan, how come that you don't have debates anymore? You used to have debates." Well, in Proverbs 16:7, He says that the Lord will cause your enemies to be at peace with you if your ways please the Lord. Did you know the Bible said that? And recently we had a woman who belonged to a big denomination, and she called me. And my wife and I went down to her home. She said, "I'm going to Johnson City, Tennessee for an operation." She said, "I've got a pastor, and I've attended church for years, but I've listened to that broadcast, and I know you're a servant of God. I know you're preaching the truth, and I want you to pray for me. I want you and your wife to pray for me, and I want your church to pray for me." You know that we took 25 people, had prayer meeting in our home not long ago. God is blessing because we want to share God's blessings with others. Our enemies, those people used to be our enemies. People next door, own a big store there. When we moved into the community, one of them walked out and said, "Yeah, we're Christians." I said, "Well, I am too. We ought to get along all right." Not long ago, they had a funeral at their church. When we went in the store, they said, "We cannot understand how come our preachers preaches people into heaven when it isn't in the Bible. You see the radio broadcast, living for the Lord, loving, letting Christ witness in you does more than anything that we can do or say. Let Christ use you and do it the way He wants you to do it, giving your life to Him completely a sacrifice. If we don't, we miss out on blessings. It's a great blessing to know that you've helped somebody along the way. Now to God be the glory. My life is nothing. I am nothing, but the Lord is everything. And how I thank God that He is using me as a vessel, how I praise God. I am no better than anybody else. Matter of fact, I am less than the least of all the saints. I know how little I am. There's some wonderful preachers here tonight, and I feel smaller than all of them, but I thank God that the glorious Christ can operate in my life. And I thank God for that, because I need Him more than the rest of you, I feel. And He's been with me in a wonderful way, and I praise Him for it, and I have to glorify Him for it. And how I thank God for the opportunity for you to have this same Jesus and to let Him come in your life and operate in your life and cause you to have blessings too. Now I must conclude, because I get started talking about these things, and brethren, I just sometimes can't hardly quit. But I want to tell you tonight, the greatest blessing you're going to miss if you fail to receive the blessings now, if you fail to put these blessings into use now, and become activated in these blessings now and carry them to others, is going to be at the day when the Lord deals with men that are outside of Christ. And we go to 2 Thessalonians 1:7. He says, to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord in the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and in martyred all them that believe. To be destroyed from the presence of God's glory. I wouldn't want to miss that. If I should try to describe God's glory to you here tonight, there are not words in any vocabulary, in any language that could describe it. But to be deprived of living in the glory of God, and sharing in God's glory, when Jesus comes to be glorified in his saints and admired in all them that believe. Brethren, when we see Jesus, all we're going to do is just admire him. We're going to glorify him. It's going to be a thrilling time. But if we miss receiving blessings now, if we pass them by, if we neglect them, we're going to miss that greatest blessing of all. When the Lord comes, we're going to miss that blessing of sharing in his glory. For when he shall appear in his glory, then those who have been filled with God's grace and have put it into action, who have used it, who've been witnesses, and who have testified and lived it, they are going, my brethren, to appear with him also in glory. And I hope that every one of you share that glory. May God bless you.
May each one of us use the closing hymn as a prayer for each one of us. It's number 264, Transformed. Let us all stand singing the verses 1 and 4 only.
Almighty God, how we thank you for Jesus who's sitting at thy right hand, and how we thank you for the marvelous grace that has brought a group of people together and united us in one body, that we may share the blessings of Christ someday at his coming. But most of all, we thank you that we can share them now in this present world by his living in us and by our obedience to his every wish. For his every wish is our command. And as we leave this building tonight, help us that we may witness and testify to some lost person in our community, or someone that's gone astray, or someone drifting too far from the shore, and bring them to the services tomorrow night. Dismiss us with thy love and care until we meet again. In Jesus' name, amen.